You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today will be another short program. It's not going to be an hour, mainly because this is a very busy day for me. Probably run a little over 30 minutes. We'll play it by ear. So I'm going to cover just one story that is in the news. It's been in the news. I've covered it in past shows. But I really need to repeat it again because I really think that the ruling elites in Washington think the American people are stupid and they're not paying attention. Well, they are paying attention. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. The president announced yesterday that the National Security Agency has brought forth a revision as to how the metadata for telephone conversations will be handled. Namely, they will be stored at the telephone companies, apparently for a period of up to 5 years. And that is supposedly going to satisfy the American people as to their invasion of their privacy by the National Security Agency. There's just one big problem. That's dealing with a minor portion of the problem. The metadata is information, for example, what telephone number dialed what telephone number, how long the phone call lasted, obviously the date of the telephone call. It is valuable information because let's just take a typical example. If an individual every week calls a liquor store, what can you assume? Probably that person is buying liquor from a liquor store. I have never called a liquor store, but there are people that are alcoholics that do it on a regular basis. That's one example. What if I make a phone conversation to a telephone number that's known to be, for example, a house of prostitution, which is illegal? What can you assume? Well, maybe he's setting an appointment. You see, just having two telephone numbers gives you a lot of insight into the behavior of an individual, so you can develop a dossier or profile on that individual. Now, let's take a rather more common situation. Let's say a person of the male gender is calling someone of the female gender, and he's calling her every day. I think it's safe to assume that that's probably, if it's not a spouse, is its girlfriend. So if you're married and you're calling someone that they know is single, it's a good probability that person is engaged in an affair. So I'm not trying to minimize the fact that telephone metadata is valuable. It is definitely valuable. That's why the National Security Agency was requesting that information on everybody through all your telephone providers. But that simply is just one small part of the information that the National Security Agency is collecting. And the reason I'm repeating this, I've listened to some newscasts as well as some talk shows, and most of them really don't understand the big picture. There are a few that do. I have actually heard several that truly understand this. I don't want to paint with a too broad a brush because there are people that understand it exactly the way I understand it. And we know this because Edward Snowden, that's the gentleman that's now in exile in Russia, and he didn't want to stay in Russia. He was actually in transport when the United States government pulled his passport, canceled his passport, so he was stuck. It's not like he flew there to stay. He was in transit to another nation. Now they're trying to paint him as a traitor to the country. But what did Edward Snowden disclose in that PowerPoint presentation on the prison program? It was the information that the National Security Agency was collecting. And these slides are readily available online. I at least had several posts where I show you the ones that have been published. Only 8 of the slides have been published. There are over 40 slides in this presentation. There's a lot of information that another shoe is going to drop. And the reason you haven't seen that is Edward Snowden gave the entire presentation, is my understanding, to several newspapers, including The Guardian in the United Kingdom, The Washington Post, and The New York Times in the United States. And they, all these papers, publish several of the slides, some all of the 8 slides, but none of them have really published the entire presentation. Because there's apparently some information that even they are aware that they feel antsy about putting it in the paper. But from those slides, what do we learn about the prison program? It's been going on for about 7 to 8 years minimum. Probably, my guess is probably sometime in 2002, 2003, it started, and then there's obviously a ramp up. But what are they doing? Every day, including today, if you have a computer or you have access to a computer, you're communicating with various websites and getting information from various websites. You're also, for example, you're probably sending an email or responding to an email. Today, for example, I had 2 small, short video projects that I posted to YouTube. That went over the internet. I needed information on the internet that I needed to download to prepare those videos. All that communication activity, all of it, it doesn't matter whether it's telephone conversations, videos, podcasts, photographs, they're all files. They're all digital files. They're all zeros and ones in different file formats. But all that information is what? It's being collected en masse by the National Security Agency and stored in their data centers. The big one is in Bluffdale in Utah. And that's not only all Americans, it's everyone in the entire world that is using either the internet or anything that goes over these fiber optic cables and goes through the United States where they can intercept it, as well as any telephone conversations, anything transmitted over the telephone exchanges. It also includes satellite transmissions, telegraph, radio waves, any communication. The National Security Agency is storing that information. Now, you know, and I know, and they know that the majority of the people that they have this information on are not now, nor never will be, a threat to the United States. Most of the people are law-abiding people. They have no desire or intention to in any way harm other people or attack the United States or any of its people. That's just the sheer numbers. There are bad actors out there. There is evil people out there. And the National Security Agency does have the responsibility to identify targets that could be potential or real threats to the United States, not only at the government, but the people and property of the United States. I'm not against their doing that for foreign citizens. But what they're doing is, we have today, for example, in the United States, we have over 318 million people. I would say clearly over 300 and let's say 5 to 10 million fall in that category of law-abiding. And I'm being on the high side. There are probably upwards of 10 million people that are in the United States that are either already targets or on a watch list or, because of past history, probably need to be looked at. Now, here's the problem, and it's a big problem. All this information obviously gets every day this is being done. There's no let up. That's why these Bluffdale, the data centers that are collecting all this information, stored on hard drives, and why it's extremely expensive what we're doing. The National Security Agency, last time I looked, probably has a budget in excess of $100 billion. Now, their budget is not public, but I've seen past figures, and I'm doing a little bit of an extrapolation. Because these data centers are expensive, and it's not just building them, it's maintaining them and keeping them up. So they're getting all that information. Now, I just finished looking at a clip. They had a panel discussing this. And they, again, zero in on the metadata. Don't bring up the fact there's a lot of else. That's just the tip, really the smallest fraction of the information that's being passed. You could probably put that metadata in a small room. You don't need a big, large data center to do this. So you're missing the big picture, and it needs to be repeated and repeated and repeated, because I think either these people are oblivious to it, they either don't understand it or have not done their homework, or they're really lying or distracting to us, deceiving us. Because put yourself in the position of the National Security Agency. Let's go through the exercise. We've identified somebody that is a terrorist. What would we want to do? Obviously, he has a name. There's certain identifying attributes of that person. A name, a phone number, an address or past address, who his associates are, what is his history. What you need to do is build a dossier on this person. So you've collected all this information every single day for not only everyone in the United States, but in the entire world. And that is their objective. Now, that doesn't mean everyone communicates either over the internet or the telephone exchanges. Those are the principal two. But you also have communication vis-a-vis satellite. There are some people that don't do that, especially if you're a terrorist, because they know there's a small probability that when they do communicate someone, let's say they're planning. Two shows ago, I went over that was in the news. The scenario was you had terrorists in the United States that were going to detonate a nuclear bomb in a major city. And you have two or three or four, how many terrorists are involved, are communicating. And they're not necessarily smart. They're keeping it short. They're using code phrases. They're not speaking in English. They're speaking in their native language. They might be embedding the information in images. That's one way to pass messages. And this is, in other words, a sophisticated and smart terrorist. So what does the NSA have to do? It has to query this massive, massive database that it has and pull out the relevant information on this individual and the individuals he's contacting. That's fairly sophisticated programming. And a program is just a set of instructions. But you have people that are very smart and know how to do that. So for the average person, they would say, well, they'd never be able to find that. No, that's not true. Because everybody has certain key identifiers. One is an email address, your telephone number, your physical address, your name, your driver's license number, your Social Security number. There are various they're called keys that are in databases. And what you do when you're targeting someone, you're building a dossier where you're trying to get, first of all, those keys, some basic information. Once you have that information, then you're trying to data mine this massive stack of paper. It's not a stack of paper. It's on a hard drive, which makes it easier. It's a big challenge. Up until, I would say, 15 years ago, there was no way the National Security Agency could do that, but they had sophisticated methods then. And what enables them to do it today is the price of storage has gone down, down, and down, and down, and down. You see, I can remember when using a computer involved punch cards, where you'd sit at a punch card machine and punch data. And then you'd have a deck of cards, you'd give it to the operator who ran the mainframe and then processed the information. And for many years, that's what corporations did. The problem with that was you had massive rooms, buildings filled with these cards. So then we went to magnetic tape. And now, jumping ahead, I'm not going to give you the history. It's now, well, let me back up. When personal computers came in, we had floppy disks. They can't hold enough information. But they were good at that point in time, they were good. But because everything, for example, I was working with audio and video. Audio and video files are huge. You can't put them on a floppy disk. We went from floppy disk to media. When I started around 2000 in this, a little bit more seriously, they used zip drives. I haven't seen a zip drive in years that could hold more information. And now we have I have a flash drive in my pocket that holds 68 gigabytes. That's a lot of data. And if I want, and I'm shopping right now, if I wanted to go out and get, I always get this confused, 2 terabytes of information, I could get that in, it's about the size of a pack of cards. That would last me a long time, even though I'm doing video and music and shows. That's a ton of information. It's the size of literally a pack of cards, and that's miniaturized. It's portable. That was unheard of 10, 15 years ago. Yeah, you could get it, but it was bigger and more expensive. Those prices have dropped. In other words, the hard drives have got smaller, smaller, and smaller.
faster, faster, and faster, more reliable.
And there are still advances in this technology. So the technology enabled the National Security Agency, combined with the resources, to store all this information. Because that's the one thing I think people don't understand. The National Security Agency has the capability of storing all this information. Now, here's an important point. Do I believe the National Security Agency, someone at the National Security Agency is listening to me? No, I don't. They might, but there's always a possibility, but not really. Why? They need to be focusing on the real threats. They do still have limited resources in terms of people. You see, even when they're bulk intercepting all this information, and it includes, for example, if you use a credit card, they have your credit card transactions. If you're doing business over the internet, which most people are, paying bills, they have all that. They have access to the business records of firms. They have all this information, and they have the capability of storing it, and they have the capability of accessing it or querying it. They're not going to take it to that point until you, for whatever reason, become a target. And that's the phrase they use. You become a target. And once you become a target, you're on a watch list, so they're looking for communications. But given the fact they now have probably upwards of at least 10 years, if not longer, of this data that they've been storing, they can go back to whenever they started it and started to save it and see what's going on. Now, here's the real danger. Okay, they have a legitimate need to do that, but here's the real danger. If you have an unscrupulous president, someone that people simply don't trust, someone that truly wants to be a tyrant, you need some names: Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Mao. Those are some of the major killers. They were evil, as far as I'm concerned. Even though in communist China today, you still see his picture. Even in China, even in Russia, you do see some places with Stalin's picture on it. These were mass murderers, but there also were tyrants. There were the phrase is totalitarian. They would love this information. Truly, it would enable them to go after their enemies, political enemies, people that don't agree with them. And we know what happened in those countries if you didn't agree and voiced your concerns. You either end up in a concentration camp or a gulag, if you're lucky, or you were tortured and executed. Now add this dimension of you can go back. Let's say I became a target. What would they do? They would go through this database and try to collect as much information on me and then put it in a dossier and then try to then analyze it. You know, first they bulk intercept this because it's going over the fiber optics as well as telephone exchange. They're not trying to sort it at that time in any way. They're taking it all. That's the point. They're taking all communication. Underline all. I've given you the list of types of media or types of messages that they have. They have your actual telephone conversations, all your email, all your text messages, anything you've put on any of the social network sites such as Facebook, any information you put on, for example, LinkedIn, because that's something that employers use, any transactions that you have with companies. If you're making car payments for a lease or you're buying a car, they have that. If you're paying your electrical bill over the internet, they have that. In other words, all your communications are being intercepted and stored by the United States government, namely the National Security Agency. And they basically, their response to this: trust us. We have procedures in place that unless we have a legitimate reason to target you and put you on your watch list, we won't listen or read any of that. I don't trust them, and most Americans don't trust them. Why? They didn't tell us they were doing this. We know this now. I suspected it. I follow this fairly closely. I suspected this, but until Edward Snowden released those documents showing, and this, what he released was, I'm reading between the lines here, is this is sort of an overview given to new people at the National Security Agency. That's why he has it. So they understand the capabilities of the National Security Agency. Hey, we got everything. We got anything that goes, and that's what you need to understand. Anything that goes over the internet or the telephone exchanges, anything over satellites, telegraphs, radio, television, they have. They've been collecting it, and they store it
on hard drives that are getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And they have the software and capability to go back once they designate you as a target and build, get that information and build, think of it as a folder or dossier. And in that, at one time, these were actual folders with paper in them. And some of them are quite thick, depending on who you are. You don't need the folder anymore. What you do is all of this is stored digitally. And once you become a target, they're making copies of it and putting in a folder with your name on it. Now, obviously, they're going to encrypt it and have some code name identifier, some way to identify you. The problem is they're doing it to literally everybody in the United States, Europe, that communicates over the internet or telephone conversation. So if you say, should we trust the United States? No. They lie to us, and they're misleading you today. And see, the sheer arrogance of the president, sheer arrogance and deceit of the president, he thinks you're so stupid that you don't understand this. They're trying to distract you with this metadata. It's like a magician. What do? They wave their hand while they're picking your pocket with the other hand. And that's what's going on. I call this the great distraction. And you have people in the media falling for it. It's sad to see these panels and supposedly people that get paid to do their homework, namely do understand the story, the basics of the story, that simply don't or ignore it. Initially, I thought the problem was reporters and journalists are always under a time. They have a deadline. They got to write a story. They don't have time to really dig into it, do investigative journalism. But now with the internet, it's not hard to determine this. And believe me, I'm not the only one saying. There are a lot of people understand this, including people that used to work for the NSA explaining it to you. They became whistleblowers because what the National Security Agency is doing is violating the Fourth Amendment rights of all American citizens against unreasonable searches and seizures. See, they don't have to go into your home and take your papers because most of what you're communicating today is not in papers in your home. You're storing it on your computer and a lot of times you're sending it over the internet. I mean, just this morning, like I said, I was working on a project. I was using the internet. I needed a photograph. I got the photograph. And then I made a video out of it. I needed some music. I got the music over the internet, put it in the video. And when the whole thing was nice, it was just a very short, I think the longest one was 21 seconds. I posted it to YouTube. It's on YouTube. Now, all that back and forth communication, as well as the posting of this video, the National Security Agency has it. Think of it, they're the big backup. The big backup. You've heard advertising on the radio, and I'm not going to promote any company. You need to back up your computer. I think it's a very good idea. You should have multiple copies of the information you have on your computer. Backing up is a good idea. Well, guess what? The National Security Agency is the giant, the global backer-upper. That's what they're doing. Did they ask you permission to do it? No. The Patriot Act supposedly allows them to do this. The problem is they kept it from the American people. They didn't want this disclosed. They did not want this information disclosed. Why? The American people are outraged that this has been going on without their knowledge. And they're asking the question of their representatives in Congress, both representatives and senators, hey, we elect you to represent us and to protect our rights. What are you doing about? Now, Senator Rand Paul has launched a class action suit. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be an issue in the 2014 election and in the 2016 election, because what Barack Obama is trying to do is he's lying to you again. He's being very deceitful, misleading, deceitful, lying, misrepresentation. Take your pick. I don't care. I don't trust him at all, at all. And there are millions of people in the same situation. They lack integrity. They're the type of individual I fear and millions of Americans fear, because all you need to get is someone, call them bent, and out to get his enemies, that what the National Security Agency has stored will be misused, They're trying to shut people up. They're trying to find things about you that are embarrassing. In other words, they're trying to get leverage on you. Some people would call this blackmail, to shut you up. They don't like what you're saying. It's about control. It's about power. And people that have power will use it. And they will have this capability. They do have the capability, and they hid it from you. That should be a red flag right there. They weren't honest with the American people what they're doing. And when they were caught red-handed, they can't deny these slides. Then they say, well, we've caught some terrorists. They have not demonstrated that at all. That's just the excuse. They will always find an excuse. The standard one is national. We need this for national security. Excuse me. Most people are law-abiding in the United States, over 300 million. And even the few that might have some criminal activity, they're not out to overthrow the United States government or engage in terrorism or espionage. They're not. And the National Security Agency fully understands that. I wish they would focus like a laser beam on the real enemies of the United States. I'm for the National Security Agency. What I take exception to, and I'm not alone, there are millions like me, is what they're doing by invading my privacy and the danger that poses to my liberties and freedoms and your liberties and freedom. Because if they don't like what someone's saying on a talk show or writing in a paper or a book, they can target you and put you on an enemies list and go after you by going into this massive data center and getting all the information about me or anyone else that they don't like. And then try to find out something, it could be criminal activity, embarrassing activity, to use to shut me or anybody else up. That is the danger to our liberties. You do not want anyone in power in any country to have this capability. And it might seem like I'm being a hypocrite here, but the NSA needs to get this information, mainly on foreigners that really do want to overthrow the United States. And see, even if you have the information collected, you still have a problem. People can encrypt it, which means you're going to have to break that encryption. Many people speak another language, so it has to be translated. You see the problem here. And even when you have the information where an analyst can actually read it and understand it, he has to put the pieces together. He has to connect the dots. Their job is really challenging. That's why I'm a supporter of the NSA, but I'm a harsh critic of what they're doing in terms of collecting information on all Americans, law-abiding Americans, that would say my life is an open book. I have nothing to hide. People need to understand this is a direct threat and violation of your Fourth Amendment right. This is a general warrant. What the British were doing in during the American Revolution, going into people's houses, no suspicion, and just rummaging through their houses, looking for information, anything. That's what the National Security Agency is doing with this bulk collection of all your information, messages, communications. And they're doing it, and they're storing it, and you've been informed about it. And you need to get outraged about it, because this will be an issue in the next election. And don't fall for President Obama's distraction about we're going to let the telephone companies keep the metadata. Mr. President, I'm not comforted about that, but what about the 99% of all the other information that the National Security Agency has intercepted by bulk interception and is storing? Who do you think we are, a bunch of fools? I think you're going to be called out on this. I've already heard it on talk shows. There are people that really understand what's going on, and they're not going to put up with this. So your BSing of the American people, this distraction, isn't going to work. It is not going to work. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at